This is the BrizNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and James Scully.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the BrizNet.com call-in show here on HRRN. I'm Bobby Newman, back with James Scully. Things a little bit back to normal this week, as I spent last weekend at Oaklawn Park hanging out, having some fun in Hot Springs. James was on assignment last week. Our good friend Bob Nastanovich of Pavement fame filled in admirably. James, I'm guessing you have never had to have had the problem of falling off a stage during a performance, my friend.
No, I haven't, Bobby, and it's a pleasure to be back on you, be back on the air with you. And I think I saw some photos of that injury on Twitter because I follow Bob on Twitter. But not a chance. Nowhere close to that.
By the way, he says that the two main problems he's having is, one, people our age don't heal as quickly as we did 25 or 30 years ago. And two, he probably should have just stayed in Australia for a couple of weeks and let it heal instead of getting on planes and going all over the place, and where he was just in agony up at 30,000 feet or whatever he was doing. So certainly hope he's getting better, but happy to be back with you this week after he filled in admirably last week. Phone number to get in, folks, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. All right, so James, last week was a little bit of a breather week as far as the three-year-olds are concerned. There were no points qualifiers last week toward the Kentucky Derby, but we're right back into the deep end, and the deep end got even deeper this week, as now we not only have 5 points qualifiers around the world this week, but 3 of them are where 200 points are giving away. That means 100 for first, 40 for second, 30 for third, and so on. It kind of means that not only do the winners of the Louisiana Derby, the UAE Derby, and the Jeff Ruby Stakes automatically get to run in the Kentucky Derby if they're eligible, but the second place finishers in those races very likely will have spots too.
Yeah, that's correct. It's never been as much as 40 points the cutoff in the Derby. I think the low 30s once was reached, but it would be, you get 40 points for finishing second in one of these 8 races that offer 200 points that are up ahead the next 3 weekends. Last year's 20-horse field, all 20 of them ran in one of these races over the next 3 weekends. You did mention we do have the Sunland Derby and a Japanese qualifier as well. But most of the spotlight will be on the million-dollar Louisiana Derby, the $700,000 Jeff Ruby, and the million-dollar UAE Derby this Saturday.
By the way, we had Millie Ball on with us during our previous show, and she broke a little bit of news that Fort Bragg, who would have been one of the favorites this Sunday in the Sunland Park Derby, is actually going to skip that race and run next weekend in the Florida Derby, presumably against Forte instead. So going for bigger money, going for more points, but going against significantly stronger competition.
That's right, but there might be an opportunity, like you referenced before, to run second in that race. I think that race is a little bit you have Cyclone Mischief, who was third in the Fountain of Youth, but it looks like Rocket Can is going to bypass it, who won the Holy Bull and ran second to Forte in the Fountain of Youth, and go to Arkansas for Bill Mott. So that field's not going to be, of all the big races, deep a field outside of Forte.
All right. Once again, the phone number to get in, 888-966-4776. James, usually we take the first part of the show to kind of look back at some of the races from the previous weekend, but we've got so many big races coming up this weekend. I think we're going to just look forward instead of look back. And let's start with this big card at Fairgrounds on Saturday. The Louisiana Derby is, of course, the highlight of the day. They have 4 graded stakes and all on the card and several other non-graded stakes. And we're seeing some of the biggest names in the sport converging on New Orleans this Saturday. But that Louisiana Derby is one of the first 200-point total qualifiers for this year's Kentucky Derby. And one of the early favorites for the Kentucky Derby, Instant Coffee, figures to go favored in that race.
He does. He's a 2-1 morning line favorite. I think that Kings Barn will take some money for Pletcher shipping in to make his Stakes debut unbeaten for two starts. But yeah, we've got a 12-horse field. One thing, we have these three races this weekend, they all have at least 11. Two of them have 12, and the other one has 11. So they're going to be some big races. You know, one of our complaints in years past has been short fields for these prep races. So at least we have that to look forward to. And Instant Coffee, I thought he improved off of his, like, I thought his win in the Kentucky Jockey Club last year at Churchill Downs was a little bit workmanlike, take a step forward in the LeCompte. But one thing when you look at the 12-horse field, Bobby, you have to ask yourself is, how much pace, what's the pace going to be like in this race, and how far back would a horse like Instant Coffee, who's been more of a stalker, late runner, how far back will he be in the early going with the regular rider Luis Saez?
Is he a horse that you think is pace dependent, or is he tractable and can lay a little bit closer if needed?
I'm going to give him credit for the LeCompte. After the two efforts last year, even his maiden win at Saratoga, where he was away nearly last and rallied from well back. I thought he was raced closer. He was never more than six lengths off the pace. That race had a pretty hot pace in it, and I thought so. I think he showed a little bit more positional speed. This race, obviously, on Saturday will be important, because if he's way back and they're going a pretty moderate clip up front, then you might be able to say that for the Kentucky Derby.
All right, Instant Coffee, 2-1 on the morning line. My guess is he's going to be significantly lower than that in the million-dollar Grade 2 Louisiana Derby race 12. On the Fairgrounds card Saturday. The 11th race on the card is the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, which is a points qualifier toward the Kentucky Oaks, and it brings together pretty mischievous Hoosier Philly, who ran against each other in the Rachel Alexandra last time out. The Alley's Look, the winner of the Silver Bullet Day, is in this race. You know, Hoosier Philly was kind of over-touted last time out, I think, going into the race. She had beaten very little, but beaten very little very easily going into that race. Three starts, three wins, and then it just wasn't her day in the Rachel Alexandra. She didn't break all that well. She never looked comfortable as the 2-5 favorite, and she was a non-menacing third in the race. She's come back to work fast since that race, which I guess is normal for her. She fires bullets, it seems like, every other time she's out there in the mornings. 2-1 on the morning line, Pretty Mischievous 8-5. Do you think Pretty Mischievous will be favored over Hoosier Philly?
No. I think the morning line, the odds maker, made the morning line for these three fillies in the Fairgrounds Oaks like seeming like how he thinks they deserve to be bet. But there's no chance they'll be bet and he's got them pegged, or she, whoever the odds maker is. And Pretty Mischievous is 8-5, like you said. And the Alley's Look is also 2-1 along with Hoosier Philly. But Hoosier Philly has been less than 1-2 in her last two starts, was even money in her first two. She was the second choice in the pool for the Kentucky Derby future wager the week before she lost the Rachel Alexandra. So she has been, like you said, I mean, as it turned out, running third, overhyped. But I think people are going to look at it and give her a break in that race. And she's got these real fast works on paper. I think that's a positive sign. So, you know, I mean, one thing about Pretty Mischief is she did beat her last time, but Hoosier Philly beat her pretty handily last year. So, you know, it's she did have the form previously against her. And I think better the Hoosier Philly will be a solid favorite. What do you think?
Oh, I think Hoosier Philly is going to be solidly favored as well. And the thing is, there wasn't anything that came out after the race from Tom Amos or anyone else that, you know, found like a real excuse, like, you know, she stepped on something or she swallowed her tongue, you know, something where you can say, well, that's just a total pitch race. It's more of a head-scratching race. I know she didn't break very well, but she never really looked like she was interested in that race. Different than the way Proxy hasn't looked interested in the early parts of his last two starts. It just never looked like Hoosier Philly was comfortable. Maybe that's the best way of saying it to me. I'm not saying that necessarily means she's going to be comfortable this time out. I actually think breaking on the outside in this short field of five helps her. You know, it's only five, so she's not going to get hung that bad into the turn. But the fact is, she gets to spend less time in the starting gate. If she breaks a half a step slow, there's nobody closing in for her out from her outside. I think it gives Edgar Morales and Hoosier Philly better options.
Yeah, and I think it does too, because she broke from the inside last time. I think other trainers would have been tempted, you know, perhaps, you know, it wasn't the track in the Rachel Alexandra, but considering, you know, how she ran, and the big difference is if you watch her races last year, Bobby, she's striding out. I mean, she's a big filly and she was striding out, and I didn't think she was striding out at all in the stretch of that race. And, you know, so
It sounds like we lost James briefly. So it sounds like he thinks that Hoosier Philly is going to be bet. It sounds like he thinks that she just didn't run a race as well. And who knows why that happened last time out, but she will obviously get a chance to atone herself tomorrow, or rather Saturday, at Fairgrounds in the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks. Nice purse of $400,000 on the line. Race 11 on the 15 race card. James is back. I mentioned that Hoosier Philly is going to have a chance to atone herself in the Fairgrounds Oaks. Atone himself is running in the Muniz Memorial in race number 10. And, you know, there's an old saying, James, that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, Atone is a six-year-old gelding who, for the most part, has been a horse that runs up close to the pace. He showed that he is capable of closing when he gets the right trip, and he looked real good doing so in the Grade 1 Pegasus World Cup Turf Invitational in his last start. Irad Ortiz rode him that day. Luis Saez, who's in town to ride Instant Coffee, picks up the mount on Atone in the Muniz. What do you think of his chances in the race?
Well, you have to respect him. I mean, I thought that was a huge effort last time at Gulfstream. He hadn't been the most consistent performer over his career, obviously, especially the last few years. But, I mean, he might have, like, turned things around. He concluded 2022 with a convincing allowance win, and he kept moving forward in his five-year-old opener for Mike Maker. So, you have to take him seriously in there. One thing about that turf course is they've moved the inside rail in a little bit, so instead of being limited to 8 runners in these turf races, they've expanded it to 10 horses, which I think helps the, you know, betting-wise for them. But outside rallying trips have been best, or had been best for most of the meet. We'll see if it plays any differently on Saturday.
All right, and they did not ride any races for the turf today. I don't think they have any tomorrow. I can't recall, but looks like they're trying to save it for those big races on Saturday. Let's go out to the phones. Tom in St. Louis. You've got Bobby and James on the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Bobby and James, gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. I look at the Hoosier Philly race another way. You know, they had all this noise about, we're thinking about running in the Derby. Most of the times that successfully is done. You don't make that decision until a little bit later in the year. I think this horse running a bad race in that last race could be nothing but a blessing. It made the connections kind of get a reality check, come back to earth, and, you know, say, hey, look, let's just do what we're supposed to do. We've got a filly. Let's focus on the Oaks. Let's run this race in Louisiana, or make the decision to go to the Ashland. Obviously, they chose to keep her at home in Louisiana in familiar surroundings where she works well. She obviously likes Churchill. And long story short, I think it's all systems go for, you know, the 5th of May, for Cinco de Mayo. And I think in the end that will be a blessing for this barn. It might be a curse, it might have seemed in the past, but, you know, sometimes things happen for a reason in this sport. And, you know, sometimes you just got to roll with the punches. So I just truly think that is what it is. You know, just kind of my two cents. I know that's kind of what we're supposed to do. We think of something and you guys bring up a topic and we give our opinion. So it's kind of this. One last thing. I know a couple weeks ago you guys talked about Azari when they had the Azari at Oaklawn. And I know it's another show and you shouldn't do this, but, you know, Penna was talking about comparing Beholder to Azari, and I'm not getting into that. But I look at Azari and I just look at the job that Dave Saru did with this horse And then I look at what Lucas got out of this horse after being off. And I just wonder maybe what would Azari would have done if she'd had a Lucas, you know, would have had this horse its whole career. And I'm not asking anybody to speculate, but it's just a thought that I had as I, you know, as I look back on things like this. So just my two cents, guys. I'll let you go and let somebody smarter than me talk for the rest of the show.
Appreciate the call, Tom. And James, I don't know about you, but when I think of Azari or Beholder, I think, first of all, they were both phenomenally good fillies and both accomplished a whole lot. And I think it's, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. I don't know if I would ever get into the conversation of, you know, what if a certain horse who did well with a lesser name trainer, if you will, what if that horse was in a bigger barn like Wayne Lucas or like Todd Pletcher, or like Chad Brown or Asmussen or Cox or Baffert or, you know, insert name here. I first of all, we'll never know how they would have done in those other barns, if they would have been the same, better or worse. And especially when you think that, you know, Laura Desarue did great with Azari. I'm not sure how much better could have been done with Azari than what she did.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. That's what I was thinking. You know, she did a great job with the filly, and that's like saying, you know, she may not have been the same filly with a different trainer, you know. So I'm not going to play that game either. And Tom's right about Hoosier filly in a sense. Perhaps that loss will be the best thing if she bounces back. She looks capable of doing it, and I think it's great that Amos kept Edgar Morales on her. I think he could have easily sacked him and gone with Rosario or somebody else, but he's going to stay with him, and being drawn outside in post five is a good spot for her.
The good news, Tom, is if you like Hoosier filly, she's going to be higher than the 2-5 she was last time out. The bad news is she's not going to be the 2-1 that she is on the morning line. I'm thinking somewhere around 6-5 or 7-5 in the Fairgrounds Oaks. Let's go back out to the phones. Chris in New Jersey, you've got Bobby and James on the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Bobby and James, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Hey, Chris, what's up?
Great.
Not much. I'm still trying to recover from 2 weeks ago at the NHC. It was a blast. It was my first trip out there. And anyone thinking about trying to go, I would 100% recommend it. First-class operation, ton of fun. Great to be in a room with 600 people who are very good horse players who love the game. The room was electric. Met a couple of great guys at my table. We had plans to meet at Monmouth. One guy was from Pennsylvania, another guy from San Francisco. So just a terrific weekend. And it makes you happy to be a horse player when you're out there. With this upcoming weekend at the fairgrounds, I'm focused on the all stakes pick five. I wanted to get to pick your brain, Bobby. I don't want to take away from your all stakes preview or whatever, but looking for a single, you know, I think it's a really tough sequence and you don't want to get suckered in. I know you're talking about Hoosier Philly and you're saying, could Amos really be that wrong about the horse? Amos has forgotten more about horse racing than I'll ever know. But the horse, I'd like to get the benefit of your thoughts. The horse I like there is the Alley's Lock. I just respect Brad Cox so much. You know, I'm a guy who was lucky enough to catch She Dares the Devil at 13-1 in the Oaks. That created just a gigantic weekend for me a couple of years ago. I think the horse is training lights out. I think the horse is primed all the way and is going to fire. Whether it's good enough or not, I don't know, but that horse is going to fire. I think Pretty Mischievous with Walsh, I don't think that horse is cranked up all the way. And Hoosier Philly, I just don't know. But the other potential singles are obviously Art Collector or A Tone. The horse I like in that first turf race, the eighth race, is Diddy. I'd like to get the benefit of your thoughts on that. I just think Adventing wants to go longer. And in the Louisiana Derby, even though you got a 2-1 morning line, it's the coffee. I think that horse is vulnerable. And the horse I like there, for better or for worse, is Disarm. I just am thinking maybe that horse Disarm. I can't get that Saratoga maiden that the horse won back in August out of my mind. That was a tremendous effort. Maybe Disarm needed that last allowance race back in February, and maybe that horse is ready to explode. I'm going to hang up and listen to what you guys have to say. Thanks.
All right. I appreciate the call there, Chris. So Chris wanting to know, he's looking at playing that pick five sequence races 8 through 12 at Fairgrounds. And by the way, we're having a little bit of difficulty with James on the other end with him on the other end of the line here. But first off, when it comes to Hoosier Philly, you know, that's a race that I think is tough if you're trying to play more than one, because, you know, there are a couple in there that look like they, you know what, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to take a break. Chris, hang on the line. I'm going to take a break. We're going to get James back on the line. When we come back, we're going to get both of us to talk about that pick five sequence at Fairgrounds. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park during the championship meet with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. Don't miss the Triple Crown prep races, including the Fountain of Youth Stakes on March 4th and the Florida Derby Saturday, April 1st. Enjoy the races outdoors from the Carousel Club, our Feast in 10 Palms, offering a premium view of the races. For stake schedules, reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Don't miss the Equine Forum every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Mike Pena brings you the latest in thoroughbred racing, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, exclusive segments you won't hear anywhere else. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, on Sirius 216, XM 204, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Phone lines to get in. 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-4776. James, before we took our break, Chris in New Jersey called up and said that in addition to having a whole lot of fun out at the NHC a few weeks ago, he's really looking forward to playing this Stakes Pick 5 races 8 through 12 on the Saturday card at Fairgrounds, but is having trouble finding a single in the race. He was looking a little bit at Nacho Correa's Didia in the first leg of the sequence, which I believe is the Tom Benson Memorial. And Didia right now is 3-1 on the morning line. We haven't seen Didia since she won a race at Colonial Downs last August, but Nacho Correas doesn't do phenomenally well off long layoffs, but Didia certainly looks like a repeat of that race would make her a contender. Of course, you've got Art Collector and West Willpower and some of the other ones in the New Orleans Classic. Do you see a single in that sequence?
Well, Didia to me would be a tough single, like you said. I mean, you've got a couple horses there that have won, have shown an affinity for that turf to me with She Can't Sing and New Year's Eve. Those are definitely two I want on my pick five ticket. I look at, like, if you're going to single, like, either Hoosier Philly or, you know, if you're going to single, like, Hoosier Philly, I just can't see playing all the favorites around it, Bobby. And, you know, I'm not too sure about Instant Coffee. I could see spreading in there, but I'm not, like, 100% confident leaving him off. I think one vulnerable favorite on the program is Art Collector. I'm a little bit, you know, his inconsistencies. I granted, you know, when he's gotten in form, especially on these East Coast tracks, he's run well. But I'm a little bit dubious if he can run back to that big effort in the Pegasus World Cup. And I'm just wondering about his trip as well. It looks like this horse Treasury in there and Westwell Power should all ensure a pretty solid pace up front. And, you know, that might be a favorite I might take a stand against.
All right, interesting. So other than Hoosier Philly, it sounds like tough singles in that race, and that's if you're singling Hoosier Philly, who's coming off a real clunker, probably the worst race thus far in her four-start career. Let's move from the fairgrounds over to Turfway Park, and they also have a gigantic race card this past Saturday, and their marquee events are taking place Saturday. They've not only got the Kentucky Cup Classic, but they've got the Jim Beam Stakes, or rather the Jeff Ruby, which used to be the Jim Beam, which used to be the GalleryFurniture.com, which used to be the Spiral Stakes. For now, it's the Jeff Ruby Stakes, and it is a major points qualifier on the road to this year's Kentucky Derby. And favoritism will probably be somewhere between two fills and horse down on the fence, Major Dude. No disrespect to Congruent, who was a monster winner of the John Battaglia Memorial at Turfway Park in his last start, his first try on synthetic. I know this is a race that you really, really like. In fact, your best bet of the weekend is in the Jeff Ruby.
Yes, it is. And I do think
Uh-oh, we've lost him again. I heard that magic noise, which means that James has gone away. James is not in a great spot right now, and I hate to leave everyone hanging, especially when he's about to give out his best play of the weekend, but we will stick around with this Turfway card. So Turfway, which has a 13-race card on Saturday, they begin at 12:45 Eastern time. It's a race loaded with allowance races and maiden special weight races, and then starting in race 7, they've basically got stakes races for the next 6 races, starting with the Animal Kingdom, and they've got the Rushaway Stakes and the Latonia, which, of course, used to be the name of the track before it was renamed Turfway. Kentucky Cup Classic, the Bourbonette, and the Jeff Ruby Stakes make up 6 stakes races in a row at Turfway Park. While we are waiting for James to come back, let's go out to the phones. Bobby in Lexington, you're on the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Bobby, what's up?
I want to throw something out there. Y'all been talking about Turfway and Fairgrounds. There's a new bet this weekend called the Bayou Bluegrass 5 that's using Fairgrounds race 9, 11, and 12, and Turfway 11 and 12. So they're all stakes races as well. And I do have a comment. I like Mr. Wireless a lot. Race. Figs or the speed, but he's going to get the trip. There's a ton of speed in this race, and I think he's going to run a big race. And not quite a single, but he's one I'm definitely going to be betting pretty heavily come Saturday.
Appreciate the call, Bobby. I don't want to give too much away from what we're going to talk about on the weekend stakes preview tomorrow night, but I can tell you I think that horse has a big shot as well for everything that you mentioned with all the speed in the race and the fact that he can close in there. I think that Mr. Wireless has a big chance. Chris from New Jersey back on the line. Chris, obviously you're interested in this pick five at Fairgrounds. As Bobby mentioned, there is another pick five for you to take part in this week, involving races from both Fairgrounds and Turfway Park. Did you know about that, and is it something you're going to be interested in, my friend?
I did not know about that, but I am interested. I really dug into Fairgrounds. I looked at the Turfway card, and it intrigued me. I just have some difficulty with that surface. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I did notice that I-Rod is there, which makes things interesting. But I thought it was really – and my man Gerardo Corrales is riding there. I know he rides there all the time. But I'm going to take another look. I might play on that. I might play that pick five as well.
All right, Chris. Appreciate your call. So – James, back on the line, I know you knew that there was a pick five with the Fairgrounds and Turfway races, and that's one thing we love about the listeners to these shows is some of them are as big a degenerates as we are, and they know where all the wagers are. You cannot get too much by our audience when it comes to wagering on horse racing, and we appreciate Bobby from Lexington reminding us of that wager this weekend. But, James, I know you love the Jeff Ruby Stakes, so who's your play of the weekend?
I like Fantastic again in the Jeff Ruby. And one thing about that race, Bobby, I don't see a lot of confirmed speed lined up for the mile and an eighth race. Now, granted, this colt has to stretch out to non-furlongs for the first time for Wesley Ward. Wesley Ward, leading trainer at Turfway Park, this winter has had a terrific meet, and Fantastic again has been super impressive in his two starts over the oval, winning an allowance race and then crushing foes in the Leonata Stakes. That was a pretty solid field that day. They elected to bypass the John Battaglia Memorial and instead point to this. And I think he's going to get the trip on the front end. I think it's advantageous to have Maker's Candy, who looks like he could be forward, drawn to his outside. And I like his chances on the front end with Gerardo Corrales, top local jock there. 6-1, fourth choice on the morning line. And that's a race where, you know, I like Fantastic again, but I wouldn't be opposed to using some long shots in there. I think that race is a little bit, definitely could have a potential return. And, you know, you have also part of that Bayou Bluegrass Pick 5, the Bourbonette Oaks, the race before the Jeff Ruby Stakes. And that race is going to have a big favorite in Botanical, but I don't think she's any cinch either, Bobby, per se. She's got a couple new faces she's facing in there, and that should be a pretty exciting race. All the races at Turfway, with the exception of, like, one of them, have, like, at least, like, 11 or 12 horses in them. So it is a real challenging card, like Chris mentioned.
Challenging card, probably a card that there's going to be a lot of money bet into, and which means there's a chance for some big payoffs on that Turfway card. Featured their marquee day of the season with both the Kentucky Cup Classic and the Jeff Ruby Stakes on the card surrounding that Bourbonette. So James's best play of the weekend, Fantastic again in the Jeff Ruby. Three times that he's made the lead, he's gone wire to wire. As far as making the lead, do you think he's just faster than Bluebirds Over, another horse who's shown speed?
I mean, I do. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, one thing about that Bluebirds Over, I mean, he's coming off of a turf race there at Gulfstream where, you know, I thought that was a pretty moderate, you know, pace up in that race. And, yeah, I mean, he sat just off the pace in the Gray Stakes last year where they went 25-second opening quarter. So I don't think he's a need to lead type. I mean, I could see him being a little bit fresh and on the muscle from the break, but I still think, you know, Fantastic again, Corrales is smart and he knows if he can get out there, he might be able to catch a breather.
All right. Fantastic again, post position number 4, 6-1 on the morning line. James's best play of the weekend. It goes in race 12 at Turfway on Saturday, the $700,000 grade 3 Jeff Ruby Stakes. All right. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we have more races to preview this weekend, including a big card in Dubai. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BristNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BristNet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BristNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BristNet.com/APR. The BristNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BristNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BristNet is the handicapper's edge.
Sam Houston Race Park's live thoroughbred meet runs through April 8th and features a new afternoon racing schedule for 2023 with racing Friday through Sunday and a first post at 1 p.m. Central. We're looking forward to March 25th, Texas Champions Day. Make it to Sam Houston Race Park as the best in Texas compete in seven exciting stakes races. The nine race card starts at 1 p.m. at Houston's Best Bet. Canadian racing fans are invited to play Sam Houston at simulcast outlets throughout Canada and on HPI Bet. For more information, visit shrp.com.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Shecky Green. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 216 or XM 204, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the BristNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the BristNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Let's go out to the phones. Steve in New York, welcome to the show, my friend.
What's up, fellas? How's it going?
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Hey, Steve.
Not bad, not bad. Well, first of all, I'm happy and also a little upset that James likes Fantastic again, because I like that horse too. But now that it means I'm not getting this price, James. What are you thinking? It's Wesley Ward, so he's going to get bet anyway. I was hoping for 4-1. You think he's going to hold that price or what?
I think he could. I mean, that's a race that has a lot of horses shipping in there for, you know, I mean, even this Wadsworth, I look at him at 6-1 on the morning line, and I think he's eligible to get bet a little bit for Brett Cox coming in off of two big wins. So, you know, Pletcher has a pair of runners, and, you know, two fills is a contender. So I think, you know, maybe 5-1, but maybe 4-1 might be a little bit, might be more realistic than 6-1 on the morning line, but I don't think he'll be too short.
All right, I'd be happy with 4-1. My only concern is Loveberry. You know, even though that horse, he shows up as like a P3 on BrisNet, you know, Loveberry's a forward rider. I could see him trying to put the pressure on early. But I agree. If he clears with Gerard, Gerard's on him, right? If he clears, I that last two races he ran, he looked phenomenal. I think he'll just open up and air. But the only other thing I wanted to comment on, and I'll hang up and listen to what you guys think about this. Am I in the minority here? Because Turfway, 13 races. Fairgrounds, 15 races. Like, I don't know if I'm just old school. I just want 9 races, man. Like, these cards, I guess some people like a lot of races, but it gets to a point where it's just too many. Do you guys agree with me? Like, just give me 9 races, you know? Give me, like, 4 or 5 stakes races on a big day, 9 races on a card, and that's it. Now, hang up, guys.
Appreciate your call, Steve. It's a tough go because, obviously, the tracks are running the races on these big days when they know people are out there and they've got money and they're gambling and they have the best chance of the handle. But yeah, if you're somebody who likes to sit it out and be there the entire day, I mean, there have been many a day, Steve, where I'm sitting in a race book in Las Vegas and I get there for the beginning of one of these cards, which is usually about 9 something in the morning. And it comes to about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you've still got 4 or 5 races left. And you think that it's like 8 or 9 o'clock at night by now, and you walk outside and it's still daylight. You're like, oh my goodness, it's like I've been how long have I been sitting there? But that's what it is. I understand where Steve is coming from, James.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I don't think they're ever going back to 9 races, but I mean, you know, you get to 15 races and I mean, you could be pushing it to like 16, 17 eventually. And that is just too long a day, seemingly. I will say, I mean, Fairgrounds, those last 3 races are all for all these Anabreds. So, it's not like they put like a really like appealing race, you know, in the sequence. I mean, that's going to appeal to anybody that still wants to bet the card. Don't get me wrong, but at least they didn't put the best fare there at the end after Louisiana Derby in race 12.
All right. We've talked a little bit about the Turfway card. We've talked a little bit about the Fairgrounds card. The card we really haven't spoken about is the richest card, at least this weekend, and that's the one in Maidan in Dubai with the Dubai World Cup. The Dubai World Cup, of course, a $12 million purse. Here's something which is hard to say. If Country Grammar wins the Dubai World Cup, he will be the all-time leading money earner in thoroughbred history. He's at $14.7 million for his career right now. Arrogate, the top money winner, at $17.4 million. He gets the winner's share of this $12 million purse, and Country Grammar is going to be the winningest thoroughbred of all time. Yet, for some reason, it doesn't excite me that he's running, James.
No, it isn't that North America, too? I mean, does that exclude – I think that might exclude Japan, but I'm not positive. Yeah, I mean, and he's got a shot to do it. I mean, no doubt about it. He likes that mile and a quarter distance. He comes off a really solid race. You know, he came back from the runner-up effort in Awesome again. He was considered for the Raiders Cup Classic. Instead, Baffert freshened him, and he ran a big race in the San Antonio. The horse, you know, Stiletto Boy ran second to him and came back and won the big cap. So that was a big win there, and I thought it was a really good second in the Saudi Cup. So stretching out to a mile and a quarter, and that Saudi Cup was one turn, really benefits him. And, you know, he's a deserving prohibitive favorite.
I don't know how prohibitive. I mean, he's going to be favored simply because in our pools, he's the horse that we know about. But there are horses in there that are certainly capable. Algiers has won a couple of Group 2 races at Maidan back-to-back leading into this, certainly not against this kind of competition. Cafe Faro, I think, is one of the top runners in Japan. We all have heard of Crown Pride. Emblem Road won the race, won the Saudi Cup last year. Panthalassa won the Saudi Cup this year. So there are some runners in this race that are decent. But I'll tell you, listen, it may just be me, but anytime I think of Country Grammar, I think of the fact that Flightline beat him by 20 when they raced against each other. Yet this horse may be the all-time money winner soon in thoroughbred racing history.
Yes, and I mean, there are some nice rivals in the field, but last year, you know, Country Grammar's in this race and he's going up against Life Is Good and Hot Rod Charlie. And I just, you know, I thought he was up against it against those horses. And, you know, he ran better, you know, I guess he was, you know, he ran better than both of them. So, but this time around, I don't think he has that level of competition, Bobby.
There are other races on the undercard of the Dubai World Cup that are certainly interesting as well. In the prior race, Equinox figures to be a heavy favorite in the Shima Classic. He's a very talented 4-year-old who's only raced 6 times, based in Japan, but back-to-back Group 1 wins coming into the Shima Classic. The Golden Shaheen is always a fun race, and it always seems to draw some pretty talented sprinters from here in North America. This year is no different. CZ Rocket, Gunite, Hopkins, Three of the locals, Sibelius is also in the field, Super Ocho. Switzerland has been based in the Middle East, but he, of course, began his career here in the States, so a lot of people know him. Gunite is the one that kind of sticks out, though. He was second to Elite Power last time out. He was good enough to beat Tejano Twist by four lengths in the King Cotton, and Tejano Twist came back and won the Whitmore this past weekend at Oaklawn Park very impressively. Looks like Gunite, if he runs his race, is going to be tough to beat.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And I thought he ran a really good race. Then Saudi just ran into a beast there. And I am excited for that Shima Classic. It'll be great to see Equinox running there and Rebels Romance coming back. I think he could have a big year, after the way he ended last fall. So the UAE Derby has a full field. Obviously, the Japanese are pretty well represented in there. They've got three stakes winners and Saudi Cup horses that ran well there. But the horse that's the favorite on the American morning line is Cairo. He's followed, I believe he was expected after winning that Group 3 on turf last year. He was expected to go to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf at Keeneland. For whatever reason, he didn't. But he came back in the same race as Mendelssohn, the Patton Stakes, and he tracked the pace, showed good like positional speed, and then drew off to win it pretty easily. So Aidan O'Brien's won the UAE Derby a bunch of times, and it looks like that Cairo is pretty well meant for him and Ryan Moore.
And that's another race that's worth 100 points to the eligible winner toward the Kentucky Derby, 40 points for second. And I say eligible because Bob Baffert does have a horse in the race, number 13, Worcester, who obviously would not be eligible to earn any Kentucky Derby qualifying points.
And I'll just say, sorry to interrupt you, but last year that race had a huge impact upon the Kentucky Derby's pace because Summer Is Tomorrow is a 6-furlong sprinter, held on to for second, a well-beaten second, but he held on to be second. And he brought all this speed to the Derby field. And, needless to say, Rich Strike won it from 19th early.
Wasn't Crown Pride in that race as well?
He was, and he was out there dueling with Summer Is Tomorrow. And they both – I mean, Crown Pride, I think, still was like around 12th or 13th. I could look it up on his PPs. But Summer Is Tomorrow was dead last.
Well, the aforementioned Cairo is the horse that's the big name and the one that a lot of people are watching. He's proven on turf, proven on synthetic. This will be his first time on conventional dirt, and if he runs well, very likely we will see him in the starting gate the first Saturday in May at Churchill Downs. All right, we're going to take our last break. Phone lines are still open. If you'd like to call in, 888-966-4776 is the number. It's the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thinking about retirement? Make sure a My Social Security account is a part of your plan. A My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal earnings history and benefit status. You can find out if you're eligible to receive benefits, compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates, view spousal benefit estimates, and more. Plan for your future. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow. Produced at U.S. taxpayer
expense. Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today.
This is the BrizNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment on the BrizNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Phone line still open. 888-966-HRRN is the number to get in. James, first of all, what's going on over at Twin Spires or BrizNet this week, my friend?
Well, I just want to mention that BrizNet.com will have PPs, free PPs, links to them on their Facebook and Twitter pages for all the major qualifiers coming up. So that's three races this weekend: Louisiana Derby, Jeff Ruby Stakes, and the UAE Derby. Also have lots of great handicapping, like reports and information available at BrizNet.com. And then Twin Spires, as far as betting the races themselves, have all kinds of promotions surrounding like $5,000 pick five, hit it and split it, money back specials if you bet a horse and it runs second or third, and a $5,000 show place and win promotion. So check those all out at the Twin Spires and BrizNet.com. And, got a lot of good racing coming up. This is the best time of year for a Kentucky Derby fan, Bobby. Always talk about it. These horses are more and more lightly raced every year for the Derby. Half the field last year only had four or five starts. So these final preps, really matter. I'll mention a couple other horses at Fairgrounds, that a couple horses I'll be using, like, from a multi-race perspective at odds. Number five, Rattle and Roll, 10-1 on the morning line in the New Orleans Classic. I liked how he finished last year. His last race at a mile and 5/8 was too far for him, but he ran big in all of his last three of his last four races at a mile 16th or a mile and an eighth. I thought he just had a wholly messed up, like, 3-year-old season in the winter, spring, and summer, and he got it going late. He can come back strong. And I'll mention First Defender in the Louisiana Derby. Shopper's Revenge in the Louisiana Derby. Everybody talks about the lack of pace in there. And here's a colt in three starts. In two of them, he completely missed the break and rallied from last to be second. And in the one race he didn't miss the break, he led wire to wire and did so convincingly. He shows a bullet half-mile work. I saw Steve Asmussen's quotes that said he handled the gate beautifully in preparation, and they expect him to break running with Santana. So that's a horse that could be a little bit, like, overlooked, 12-1 on morning line on the front end of Louisiana Derby.
All right, winding down the BrizNet.com call-in show, I've got a couple of fun questions for you, and some of them are pretty tough, but they're quick answers. First one, is this year's Kentucky Derby winner running this weekend?
I think that remains to be seen. I mean,
that is an awful, awful answer. I am not accepting that answer.
I do not think that the Kentucky Derby winner is running in Dubai or at Turfway. So the chances are against it. I do give Instant Coffee a chance to win this year's Derby, but his chances, obviously, compared to, like, Forte and the Fields Web and these other preps, are less than 50%.
All right, so that's a long way of saying no. The Kentucky Derby winner is not running this weekend.
Fair enough. We
don't want these wishy-washy things. We're not holding you to this. It's just fun. Okay, how about
that's
this?
That's a fair standard.
How about this? Will any horse running in one of the five Derby preps this weekend? The Louisiana Derby, the Jeff Ruby, the Sunland Park Derby, the UAE Derby, or the Fukuru Stakes? Will any horse in these races finish 1, 2, 3 in this year's Kentucky Derby?
Yes, I think it's the coffee. Well, I'll go ahead and say that right now. I think that horse is built for the 10 furlong trip. He has class. I like this yearly race. Obviously, he needs to take a bus, continue to move forward, but he's eligible to do so. I think Brad Cox looks like he's going to have horses in at least five of these eight qualifiers. Won't have one in California, Dubai, or Florida, but it'll be everywhere else. And I think of all his horses, Insta Coffee's the best Kentucky Derby contender. And yeah, he can hit the board.
Okay. How many horses running this weekend will run in the Kentucky Derby?
Huh. That's a good one. I'm going to say seven. How's that?
That's a big number.
That is, man. I don't know.
So we're figuring that the winner of the
100. I'm going to say six. I'm sorry. Six. I'll say six.
Okay. It's still a big number, but, yeah. So six of the 20 horses, James says, that are running, will run in this year's Kentucky Derby, will be running somewhere this weekend in one of these five stakes. But only one of those horses has a chance to win the Derby, and that's Instant Coffee. Now, obviously, you can change your mind after the fact. If somebody runs away and hides from the field in the Louisiana Derby that's not Instant Coffee and wins by five lengths and gets ultimate PP speed figure of 116 or something like that, obviously you might change your mind a little bit.
All right.
Interesting. So, but in general, even though this is a fantastic week for those of us that are racing fans, a fantastic week as far as cards we can bet on, whether it's that monster card at Fairgrounds or the one at Turfway or even the one at Sunland on Sunday.
Let me ask you a quick question real quick.
Wait a minute. You're cutting me off. You're trying to get off easy here.
Okay.
Go ahead. We are saying that it's very likely that despite all these great races and great fields and everything, it's very likely that the Kentucky Derby winner is not running this weekend. It would be a big price to say yes. If you were playing craps, you would lay the don't would be a big favorite as far as this weekend goes.
Yes. Yes, I think that's fair. I last year, this weekend, the top three finishers in the Jeff Ruby Stakes were all in the Derby. The top two finishers in the UAE Derby were in the Derby. And I believe the top three in the Louisiana Derby might have been in there. So it may have produced eight last year.
And by the way, the winner and the runner-up from the Jeff Ruby Stakes and the Louisiana Derby came from either the Jeff Ruby Stakes or the Louisiana Derby.
Right, and that's the thing I'm going to ask you. How many horses running this weekend will run back again and then compete in the Kentucky Derby? Because that's happened, and it happened last year with Tawny Port.
Well, see, I was thinking that myself. I was looking at the Lexington Stakes, which is the final Derby prep, and it's on April 15th, and I was wondering, you know, how many horses who run in the Lexington will make the Derby field? Because there are going to be a few, especially the ones that run this week, that maybe are 10 points away from where they need to be, that a second place finish or something like that in the Lexington would be good enough to put them into the gate.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, if you ran third on Saturday, you get 30 points this year. So, I mean, you talk about being on the bubble and needing maybe even to run third in the Lexington, 30 points could be a common number.
And obviously what happens in the UAE Derby and that Fukuru Stakes is a little bit up in the air, because no one here is 100% sure that the horses who accumulate points in those races will actually look at the Kentucky Derby as their next start. Yeah, we've talked about Cairo, and if he runs well, it sounds like that's what they're looking at doing. But as we mentioned, Worcester isn't even eligible for points. He is a win candidate in the UAE Derby. It's a very intriguing week. And even a horse like Instant Coffee, who's done very little wrong in his career, I don't think is just a slam dunk standout in that race at Fairgrounds Saturday.
Yeah, that's definitely a fair point. And, you know, one thing that UA Derby has shown us, and it showed it again this year, all three Japanese points race winners are in the field. And that Patton Stakes at Dundalk was a European road to the qualifier, and he's in the field. So those races are really, those horses are going to the UA Derby.
It's a very intriguing weekend, and it's not just about the three-year-olds. Obviously, they are the highlights of several of the cards that we've talked about. But, you know, that Kentucky Cup Classic is a fun race, and those undercard stakes races on the Louisiana Derby card are fantastic, with the Pegasus winner Art Collector in there and a Tone in a race. And the Hoosier Philly competing for points once again on the road to the Kentucky Oaks should be another very, very fun weekend, not only across the country, but across the world, thoroughbred racing-wise. That's going to wrap it up tonight on the BristNet.com call-in show. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, James Scully, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks to everyone for listening. Have a great night.